Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
With all my heart. There is a shift that's about to take place in your life. Tell someone, get ready to shift. And it's a good shift. Amen. It's a good shift. We'll talk about that a bit tonight in this message. But we're continuing in our series we started entitled Transformation. And we're going to be in part two of Breaking Bondage. Breaking Bondages. First point that we looked at in this message was the battle over identity. Our text is the example of Israel being delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. In Exodus 5, if you'll go there with me, Exodus chapter 5, and we'll bounce around. I'll go on a few rabbit trails, and we're going to go through all of these points, and then at some time, I'm going to go into these points in much more depth. But the first challenge to their deliverance from bondage was their identity. Understand, they had 400 years of slavery. But what we must understand, doesn't matter how long you've been in a problem or a situation or under a circumstance, the key to this whole thing was that God spoke a promise to Abraham before they went into slavery. And he said that your seed would be in bondage or in slavery for 400 years, but then I will raise up a deliverer. So it doesn't matter how long you've had to grapple with stuff, or, you know, you've been the tail and not the head. If you have a word from God, amen, he's going to break the bondage. Now, I believe it was the centurion that said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We have to come to grips with the fact that we are the generation. Okay, tell someone, you're the right one, it's the right time, and it's your turn. One of the things Israel had to come to understand was that what was prophesied, God was working it out right then. Okay, so we have to stop allowing the enemy to push all of our promises from God into the future somewhere. Yeah, one day, I'm sure. You know, yeah, God said it, one day it'll happen, maybe in the next generation. No, we have to own up and say, you know what, we are the ones. You have to start believing. That's why you have to pray, Lord, help my unbelief. When this stuff crowds my mind and I don't feel like it's going to happen, help my unbelief so that I get into that dimension of faith where I believe I'm the one. Come on, tell somebody, you're the one. God's going to use you. It's your turn. It's your time. Come on, now we got to stir ourselves up to believe that it is our time. Come on, somebody say it again. It's my time. Come on, before the night is over, there's going to be a shift in here, and you're going to know it. Before you walk out of here, you're going to know, wait a minute. I've been letting the devil put my stuff on hold and had my spiritual vehicle in neutral. Time to put it back in drive. They had to believe. Now, Moses had a humongous task in coming to a people that had been in slavery for 400 years, generations. So there are people born into that didn't know anything else. They didn't know anything else but slavery. So it took a supernatural movement of God in order to bring these people out, even though they believed that one day Abraham's promise would be fulfilled. All they knew was slavery. You know, when we come from middle lower class or lower class or out of poverty, we don't know anything else or more than that. But I want to show you something tonight that will identify who you really are and what Jesus has really done. I don't just mean materially, but I mean even spiritually. How much of a giant you really are. But like Israel, you know, all they knew was slavery. All they knew was certain things. There was a promise given, but all they knew. But we're going to break that bondage. Amen? And we're going to move on. So the first battle was with identity. In Exodus chapter 5, now this is what the enemy used. And you can identify this in your own personal life on different occasions. When God is about to move, the enemy doesn't know necessarily what God's going to do. He just knows that something's changing about you. That your attitude is changing. You know, and see, the whole thing about slavery was to never allow a slave to get an identity. The slave master had to determine who you were and who you couldn't be and what you would never have. That's just like the devil. You know, you talk about being debt free, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all these added expenses and debts come. But how many of the devil is a lie? Come on, you got to stay with that word. Come on, you got to stay with that word. You got to fight sometime. You know, there's a type of prevailing prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, while he was praying, the disciples fell asleep. And it wasn't because they were tired from physical tiredness. They were tired from sorrow. You know, like I know, sorrow can wear you out. After Jesus had told them what was going on, then the spiritual battle started. They were totally wore out from sorrow. But it's in time of crises that we must have prevailing prayer. Come on, this is how we're going to break some bondage. Instead, where you used to give up, tonight there's going to be a shift. Come on, where you used to throw in the towel and where you used to just forget about it, God ain't going to let you forget about it. And when I say he ain't going to let you forget about it, he's going to give you the grace to keep on moving on. Amen? Come on. Those disciples, they checked out in the garden. But Jesus broke through with prevailing prayer. When the pressure got more on, he got more precise. Amen. The disciples checked out, but he got more precise. He got more exacting with his prayer. So the first thing the enemy did with the Israelites is in chapter 5, verse 9, let there more work be laid upon the men that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. The system, the enemy is good at trying to lay things on you to cloud up or to make you forget or not even think about what God is trying to say to you. You know, the fact of the matter is. And so the enemy, you know the story, they had to go and get their straw and weren't allowed to diminish any of the production. They had to get their straw, and there was no way they could do it. And the leaders of Israel were beaten. They were making it hard. In other words, they were not giving them any opportunity to get any type of identification. You know what I mean? It's like the world. You know, it can keep you so stretched out, so worn out. You have no time to yourself. Amen. You're steadily giving yourself to the job, and the job ain't going nowhere. And it ain't giving you what you really need. But you're giving yourself all to it. Okay? So this is how the enemy used, or what he used. He increased the pressure to accomplish one thing. And that is to keep them from hearing what the Lord was saying to them. Okay, I want you really to get that. That's how the enemy works. However it is, whatever it is. You know, God give you an amazing promise, and all of a sudden the news is blasting all kind of disaster and such. But in this shift, this is what you're going to have to This is what you're going to have to see and understand when we talk about this shift tonight. God is behind both of them. God is not just behind the sunshine. Amen. God creates good and he suffers the evil. It's nothing that he doesn't allow. In other words, he's sovereign. He's over it. If we begin to understand this, if we really begin to understand this, we wouldn't find ourselves frustrated and feeling like we're in bondage to certain things. We'll see that God is sovereign and he's behind this. And if you see clear enough, you'll see that all these things are working together somehow for the good of his church. Like I said, when he sees four pierced, he sees the church. Amen. He sees Port St. Lucie, he sees the church. He sees Los Angeles, California, he's looking at the church. The rest of it is secondary stuff. So Pharaoh and the hard taskmasters were trying to keep them from their identity. But in Exodus chapter 4, if you go to Exodus 4, and get me verse 22 of Exodus 4. Moses was given instruction by God to speak unto Pharaoh. And he said, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." Now here's Pharaoh trying to put harder and harder labor, rigor on them so that they can't even breathe. No semblance of family, no family life, no individual life, no community life. It was slavery. But God is countering that act by saying, "Moses, go to him and tell him that Israel is my firstborn. They are my son." In other words, God in the spirit dimension is establishing their identity. Now, I want to tell you something about the firstborn. All through history and all through Israel's history and all through history, the firstborn son could never be a slave. The firstborn could never be a slave. Now, here they are slaves, but God is telling Moses, go tell him, these are my firstborn. In other words, in the spirit realm, God is establishing something. There's war going on in the spirit. God is hardening Pharaoh, but yet he's telling Moses, tell him these are my firstborn. I want to show you something about the firstborn. Go with me to Colossians. Give me Colossians 1 and 18. Look at someone while you find that and tell them, you are his firstborn. Can we accept that? Can we receive that tonight? That we are God's firstborn. Even though you weren't born first in your family, you are a firstborn. In the sight of Almighty God, you are the firstborn. Okay, now look at this. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Now look at this. This is Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Next verse. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 2 of our series entitled Transformation, Breaking Bondage, Part 2. Exodus 1:7 says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." The first battle was about their identity. The enemy doesn't want you to know who you are. Mistaken identity is a form of bondage that God has to break in a person's life. God spoke a promise to Abraham, "Your seed has been in bondage too long, and I will deliver them." God told him, "I'm going to bring you out. You are the right one, and you are at the right time." We must stop allowing the enemy to push our blessings away from us. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.